The wage gap between men and women in Michigan needs to be looked at. This is a state where the 2010 U.S. Census found 284,000 families are headed by a female parent, and 28% of those households are living in poverty. That's something like 80,000 Michigan families. Bridge Magazine writer Ted Rolos looks at the wage gap in his latest story for Bridge Magazine. Welcome back to the program, Ted.
Good to be with you.
Let's start by looking at what the numbers tell us about the gender wage gap. First, what's the U.S. average?
78 cents on the dollar. That's women's wages compared to men, women who work full-time, men who work full-time.
All right. And in Michigan?
It's 75 cents on the dollar. So that puts Michigan, I think it's about 41st out of 50.
And I'm curious where the numbers come from and also the basis of comparison, just so we can really understand what it is we're talking about when we say in Michigan a woman is making 75 cents for every dollar a man makes.
We're looking at men and women who work at least 30 hours a week in the previous 12 months. It's not comparing how much you're making on a specific job. It's what you're earning. It doesn't take into account how many hours you're working. So it's a very broad measure, but it's an indication that, in the broadest terms, women who work full-time do not, on average, make as much as men who work full-time.
I know you're aware that there were readers commenting on your story in Bridge who really took issue with the statistics, saying unless you're comparing equal positions with equal experience, this data is worthless and flawed. In fact, you even note that a Washington Post fact-checking column called out President Obama for citing similar numbers in his State of the Union speech. So,
yeah, there's confusion about this issue, and I made it very clear in the piece that we did that we're not asserting that women are paid 75 cents on the dollar for doing the same work as men. That's not the point of this. It's just to take a broad look at what are the overall earnings for men and women, how do they compare, what are the reasons for that, ought there to be any remedies for that? And it's an open question.
Indeed. Are we seeing these disparities across the board? Are we seeing them in small companies as well as in big businesses like, you know, auto or pharmaceutical, the big companies?
One of the points we made in this article is to look at the types of occupations that men and women have. If you want to look at the lower end of the pay scale, you find a preponderance of women doing jobs like child care work, maids, home health care aides. There are somewhere in the range of 90% of those occupations. Those are basically poverty wages, even if you're working full time. So that's part of the explanation on the lower end of the pay scale. And if you look at a lot of the professions, the higher paying professions, you'll find that men tend to dominate a lot of the higher paying professions. So it's an issue of what are the choices women are making on that end of it, is what kind of careers are they choosing? Are they motivated by salary, money? Are they perhaps motivated in other cases by wanting to choose a profession that's so-called nurturing or caring, so you find a higher percentage of women in professions like social work, nursing, teaching, that sort of thing. So that gets you pretty far down the road as to understanding why there is a difference in how much men earn and how much women earn.
And then we've got to fold in the biological realities of family demands or taking time out to bear and raise children, don't we?
It's easy for men to brush that aside, but I think there's been some changes in the way men and women look at their responsibilities as parents over the last 50 years. Clearly, men are taking more responsibility than they might have been in the old Leave It to Beaver days model of what a family is. But I looked at a survey of the Pew Research Center, and this was done in 2015. It said 39% of working mothers said they had taken significant time off from work to care for a child or family member, compared to 24% of working fathers. It also found that 50% of women said being a working parent made it harder to advance in their job, compared to 16% of men. And there's other evidence that if you look at this pay gap, research indicates that it's narrower when women are younger, but it tends to widen over time, which suggests that somewhere along the line, women are making sacrifices for their family that men aren't making, which tends to impact their long-term career earnings.
I'm talking with Bridge Magazine writer Ted Rolos. His piece in the June 9th edition of Bridge is, "In Paychecks, Michigan Women Have a Long Way to Go, Baby." And what are we seeing in terms of the toll being taken by this pay gap in Michigan, Ted?
people can draw their own conclusions, but if you look at the number of female single-parent households with children in Michigan and look at the wages they're earning on the lower end of the scale, whatever you think of this, whether you think this is no fault whatsoever of society, there are no arbitrary legislative solutions for this, if you're looking at a household where you've got a preponderance of the single-parent households in Michigan being headed by women and their wages being lower, clearly that has an impact on the children in those households.
Yes, you talked about the toxic stress that you see with this constantly stressed mom or caregiver.
Imagine you're trying to support a family, let's say a family of three, and you're a child care worker and you're bringing home roughly $20,000 a year. That's not an easy prescription for a family. Again, if you're looking at a single-parent household headed by a woman, and she's dealing with illness of a family member, what kind of flexibility does she have to take off of work? Can she even take off of work to care for a child, or would she be allowed to do that and be paid for that? And those are all questions that have profound implications on the kind of the cohesion of a family unit.
And certainly that can spill over into the academic achievement of the children.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it becomes a cycle when there's greater stress within the family. Oftentimes, a parent might be dealing with so much stress in his or her life that they don't have enough reserve to really deal with the needs of their children. And ultimately, that's going to have an impact on how well the kids are going to do in school and beyond that.
Sure, because you can just see that perpetuating another cycle of the next generation settling for these low-paying and minimum-wage jobs and having the same stresses. What are some of the proposed strategies that you've heard as you explored everything for this story?
Well, there's a bill in Michigan in the state Senate that would allow workers to accumulate paid sick leave and give them the right to take paid days off to deal with family emergencies or family illnesses. That's a Democratic measure, and it's not expected to go anywhere given the reaction of Republicans. And there's a couple federal measures that have been stalled, introduced in recent years, and they don't seem to be going anywhere either. And, you know, it's the same, similar politics that you're going to have on the state level. It's a lot of pushback saying these kinds of measures to give workers tools to combat wage discrimination, that sort of thing, that those are job killers and we don't need that. And so they're, at this point in time, not going anywhere either.
So you wonder, as you get a sense of the stresses on these women who are trying to support families on very little money, you just wonder what strategies are out there that someone could grab onto to help a low-income woman get onto a track that to take her up instead of being stuck or losing ground.
Well, it's typically a matter of education. You know, if you're stuck in an occupation that has no room for advancement, as a lot of those lower-wage jobs do, then really the only realistic way out is to be qualified for something that has more upward mobility potential in it. There's no magic answer to how that gets done. I mean, it's a matter of education, maybe going beyond high school education, improving your skill level with employable skills that are going to allow you to rise out of poverty.
Which goes right back to a theme that's been explored so often in this state and certainly on this program about the need for training for those employable skills, because employers are saying, hey, we do need people to fill a lot of different jobs. We are having a hard time finding enough workers to fill the jobs that we have.
Yeah, with the weight of responsibility that women have within families, you would think whatever remedy one might want to contemplate, we should realize that just the tremendous impact that the prosperity or lack thereof of a female worker has great implications for our society and for our children.
Ted Roloff is a contributing writer for Bridge Magazine. His latest piece is titled In Paychecks, Michigan Women Have a Long Way to Go, Baby. You'll find it at bridgemi.com. Ted Roloff, good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
No problem.